What's up? It's Delaney, and I'd love to invite you to become an honorary co-host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Do you want to pick episode topics and guests? Done. Want to surprise your loved ones with shout-outs on the show for a birthday, project launch, a much-needed divorce? Whatever you're up to, would love to be a part of the celebration. Get your favorite and least favorite quotes featured on the podcast, submit questions for our special guests, and find lots more new features and surprises at patreon.com/selfhelpless. You'll also get added to our Patreon Insider email list to easily redeem rewards via a quick email reply. Because we know hanging out on Patreon isn't everyone's thing. You can also opt out of emails if you prefer to be a silent supporter of the show. And don't worry, we do not Scrooge McDuck these contributions. 100% of proceeds go directly to operating expenses that make this weekly podcast possible and available to all. Learn more at patreon.com/selfhelpless or simply click the link in this episode's description. Thank you for helping me fill the void of being the last standing host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Thank you so much.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Self-Helpless. I'm Kelsey Cook.
I'm Delaney Fisher.
And I'm Taylor Tomlinson.
And today we're going to be talking about codependency, which is a helpster recommended topic.
Yeah, actually, a lot of helpsters have wanted us to discuss this. So we heard you loud and clear.
And here we are today.
Also, we have 422 patrons out of 500.
You guys.
Oh, once we get to 500, we're doing that live stream Q&A exclusively for our patrons on Patreon. We are so close. Thank you guys for being so awesome on there.
Yeah.
It's really, I mean, Patreon is just, it's an experience. It's like the, it's like the post-show where we talk about how we feel about the show.
Yes.
It's a lot.
Yeah, if you want to join, please go to patreon.com/selfhelpless. It's a great $5 a month, we're telling you. Also, we've got our 2020 tour coming up. We're going to the top five U.S. cities with the most helpsters, so make sure you spread the word to your helpster community. Tell a friend, tell a coworker, tell a family member. We're going to come to you. We're very excited for that tour.
Yeah, we'll announce who's in the running next episode when we have a little bit more data.
Yes. All right. Shall we get into it?
Yeah.
Yes,
we have a
please.
Quotable. This is a very Instagram quote.
Yeah.
Never put the key to your happiness in someone else's pocket.
Ooh.
Boom.
Ooh. So true.
Is that my happiness in your pocket or are you just happy to see me?
That's the dumbest thing I've ever said.
Oh, hey. God. I'm so sad. Okay.
Enjoyed it.
Oh, I love dick jokes so much. So that ties in pretty perfectly to codependency. It really does. So let's define codependency. And again, this, I think we've all talked about this amongst ourselves, but codependency is a tough one. I've read a lot about it. And like, I've even read, things therapists have written where they're just like, this is hard to define. It's like a word I don't even like to use. Like, I think, some people are very codependent and then some people, like myself, I think have elements of codependency. Mm. But, again, so if you're hearing this and you're identifying with like parts of it, but not all of it, and you're like, am I codependent? Like, you don't need to label yourself or anything.
So maybe this will just kind of like help anybody who might feel like they have some of those tendencies. Because I'm very unclear. I've heard so many mixed things about what codependency is. And so I'm really looking forward to learning about this topic.
Let's get into it. Yeah. All right. Codependency is a learned behavior that evolves from watching and imitating other family members display this behavioral pattern. It affects an individual's ability to have healthy, mutually satisfying relationships that can be passed down from one generation to another. It's also known as relationship addiction because people with codependency often form or maintain relationships that are one-sided, emotionally destructive, and or abusive. This disorder was first identified about 10 years ago as the result of studying interpersonal relationships in families of alcoholics. Okay, so six questions to help you determine if your relationship involves codependency. One, does your sense of purpose involve making extreme sacrifices to satisfy your partner's needs? I feel like that in relationships. I feel like, you know, if I love this person, I will do anything for them, which is very unhealthy, you could argue. But it's that romantic idea of like, well, of course you would, you know.
Yeah, I would do a lot, but I definitely would draw the line somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. You've told me, like, you and Cam are like, yeah, we don't ask each other to drive us to the airport.
Oh yeah,
which, like,
yeah, we both hate going to the airport.
You're almost the opposite of codependent.
Yeah
I feel like I might not swing at all too independent, which is also an issue. I think if you're too independent within the relationship, then somebody might feel like you're putting up a wall and like you don't need them at all,
right?
And it's like, well, I might technically not need you, but I want you.
Yes.
Is that helpful? I don't know. Yeah. So yeah, this is interesting.
Yeah. And then two, is it difficult to say no when your partner makes demands on your time and energy? Okay. Three, do you cover your partner's problems with drugs, alcohol, or the law? Like, do you make excuses for your partner who may be, you know, having some serious issues?
Yeah.
Four, do you constantly worry about others' opinions of you? Well, I mean, we're all artists.
That seems like that question kind of comes out of nowhere. It's like, what?
Yeah.
Don't we all care?
Yeah. I would feel more like, are you constantly worried about your partner's
opinion?
Yeah, that's more of what I've understood about it.
Yeah.
It's like you're always afraid that your partner isn't happy or is going to leave or something like that. Five, do you feel trapped in your relationship? Six, do you keep quiet to avoid arguments? So this is interesting because I think you can be, this is just my opinion. If ever, you know, don't send a bunch of hate mail for this episode. If you're like, Taylor doesn't know what she's talking about. You're right. I do not. but as I understand it, it seems like you can be codependent or behave in a codependent way within your relationship even when you're not with somebody who needs to be taken care of, you know, because the way I've always understood codependency is like, okay, that means you're going to be drawn to damaged people and just do whatever you can. Cause you feel like that's another thing I've read about. And, you know, we're going to talk about is like, if you're in one of those relationships where it's lopsided and the other person is like taking a lot and you're becoming like the martyr, I think that's like the most extreme case of codependency. Okay. When you're going like, yeah, they drink, yeah, they hit me, but like, it's fine. I'm going to fix them. I'm going to help them. Like, I can fix it. It's all about me. Like putting it all on yourself basically. And then like when you're not happy, not feeling like you can say anything because, you know, you don't want to.
So like a kind of like taking on the responsibility of the whole relationship is on one person, like that kind of feeling, or it's like, everybody's happiness in this relationship depends on me and my actions kind of thing.
I think it's just one person's approach to it. And then if they're with somebody who is comfortable with them doing that, then that other person can start to make demands on the codependent person.
Oh yeah.
This is how I'm understanding. It's like, I have a drug problem, but my partner keeps going like, it's okay, we can fix, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay, as opposed to like, hey, like, this is a serious problem, and like, if this doesn't change,
right,
we gotta figure this out.
Is it kind of like enabling
It seems like enabling to me. It seems like if it's very close to that. Yeah. And a way that codependency might relate to you, Delaney, is like the way you've talked about how you had to get better at like just saying no to people because you would like do anything for your friends and you're like, oh, it's a serious drain on my time and energy, but I feel like I have to when people ask me.
Right.
That could be considered sort of like codependent behavior. You are codependent.
Right.
But I think it's important, again, not to get like sucked in and be like, I'm codependent. Like, totally.
That makes sense.
But just like there are certain situations where you can't. I don't think codependency is like a diagnosis. I think it's a behavior depending on what kind of relationship situation you're in.
Yeah,
so like,
that makes a lot of
you
sense.
In relationships, Delaney, are very like, if this isn't it, I'm gone.
Right.
But in friendships, it seems like you've historically been more like,
okay, I don't really want to do this, but I am going to because they're my friend and that's what I do. You know, that kind of thing.
Totally.
They are my friend.
I have stated the fact.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. But then in romantic relationships, people can go like, okay, I am not happy and I don't want to do that, but they are my partner. So, you know, but it's hard because there's some gray area there because there are things in a committed relationship where, you know, there are boundaries that, you know, you guys are going to have to talk about. And if one of you is like, I'm really, really uncomfortable with that, the other person might have to compromise.
Right.
But there's a difference between compromising and sacrificing to a point where you're like, I'll do whatever you want because I don't want you to be sad, you know, that kind of
thing.
Almost
like my needs no longer matter at all. Like that kind of thing. Okay. All right. Yeah. I think I get it.
Yeah.
Should we talk about the stages?
Yes.
The development of codependency can be split into four stages. Stage one, growing up in a dysfunctional family can lead to codependency. A dysfunctional family is one in which members suffer from fear, anger, pain, or shame that is ignored or denied.
Isn't that every family?
Yeah. I was like,
what?
Sure. underlying problems may include any of the following: a family member's addiction to drugs, alcohol, relationships, work, food, sex, or gambling. Physical, emotional, or sexual abuse, the presence of a family member suffering from a chronic mental or physical illness. Okay, yeah, that's just, I think every family's got issues, but maybe it's about how they handle the issues, right? If it's not being talked about versus if it is, if people are getting help versus if they're not.
Well, and there's like varying degrees of severity in these things. I've talked about like growing up in my house versus when I met Kane and heard about what it was like growing up in his house. Like, I went through my own pain with like my parents' divorce and how each of those households were. But, you know, Kane's pain was a very different pain. And I do feel like there are different levels, not to like belittle mine, but his was, I think, much worse than mine.
Right.
So
I
do think that produces a different result in a person if you're growing up in that sort of like an extreme household.
Of course. Stage two, family dysfunction prompts repression as a coping mechanism. Dysfunctional families do not acknowledge or confront the problems that exist. As a result, family members learn to repress emotions and disregard their own needs. They become survivors. Mm-hmm. They develop behaviors to help deny difficult emotions, which can cause emotional detachment and an inability to trust.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Stage three, a codependent person may have difficulty building their own identity. In a codependent familial structure, attention and energy are focused on the family member who is ill or addicted. The codependent person typically sacrifices his or her needs to take care of a person who is sick. Oh, this is starting to make a lot of sense. This can cause a person to place other people's health, welfare, and safety before their own, lose contact with their own needs, desires, and sense of self, limit the development of a person's identity and emotional maturity. Codependents have low self-esteem and look for anything outside of themselves to make them feel better. This can evolve into addictive behavior.
Oof.
Wow. So basically, because they felt like growing up, the person with the addiction really had the true issues and problems, all the attention and energy had to go to them, therefore putting aside their own stuff because, well, if they feel that they're not in as bad of a position as that person, then they're fine.
Yeah. Right.
Right. So like pushing away your own needs. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Stage four, behavioral patterns develop between the person in need and the codependent. The benefactor role, driven to take care of a loved one who is experiencing difficulty, the codependent benefactor begins compulsively caretaking for their relation. For example, a wife may cover for her alcoholic husband. A mother may make excuses for a truant child. A father may pull some strings to keep his child from suffering the consequences of delinquent behavior. The cycle of dependency develops. The benefactor repeatedly rescues the needy individual who is enabled to continue destructive behavior. The reward of being needed, codependents view themselves as victims and are attached to that same weakness in the love and friendship relationships. The codependent benefactor develops a sense of satisfaction from being needed. Oh boy.
Yeah.
Oh shit.
I'm
understanding this a lot now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh yeah. I get where I fall into this, definitely.
Really?
Yeah.
How do you fall into this?
I think I'd rather talk about more on Patreon, to be honest.
Oh,
some people that listen to this might be hurt if they heard it.
Mm.
So yeah, definitely we'll talk about it. I
get on Patreon.
I understand.
I got you.
So would somebody else want to talk about how to treat?
Sure.
How to treat it?
So how to treat codependency. There's individual and group therapy. Codependents rediscover themselves and identify self-defeating behavior patterns. They explore how early childhood issues relate to current destructive behavioral patterns. Number two, there's also experiential groups. Codependents Anonymous, a fellowship of men and women whose common purpose is to develop healthy relationships. And there's a 12-step program for that, which we will list out in a minute. There are four goals for changes in behavior after treatment. So number one, development of personal identity. You nurture your own wants and desires and develop a connection to your inner world. You see yourself as self-reliant, smart, and capable. Number two, ending the cycles of abusive behavior. So the caretaking and enabling behavior is acknowledged and stopped. Number three, setting clear, firm, and healthy boundaries. You respond rather than react to other people's thoughts and feelings. You recognize that your reaction is your responsibility. You say no and you accept hearing no. And then number four, development of healthy self-esteem. You tolerate other people's opinions and do not become defensive when you disagree. You adopt a healthy skepticism regarding what others say about you, good or bad, and your self-esteem doesn't rise and fall as a result. Oof. So much information. This yeah. I feel like we need to kind of like stop in between each thing and just like break this down because yeah. this is a lot. How are either of you feeling about this?
I think I'm.
I know you said that you have to say things on.
Yeah,
Patreon,
no, I would say I'm definitely. I think Taylor nailed it. I'm not codependent in romantic relationships, but I can definitely be codependent when it comes to certain familial or maybe even friendships.
Yeah, same.
Yeah,
for sure.
So I don't know why I'm able to set boundaries in romantic stuff.
Hmm.
Maybe it's because I don't feel like I don't know. Maybe it's because like maybe I've known my family longer. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it's like this kind of obligatory thing.
Yeah. I don't know.
It's so interesting.
Yeah. I feel like sometimes with the familial codependency, it's like it's been happening for so long
yeah.
since you were so little that you don't even realize what's happened until you're older. Like,
yes.
I feel like I might have some sort of codependent relationship with my mom because after my dad left, I just think that she, like, my relationship with her was so much more best friend, like, in addition to being parent child, than any of my friends growing up had with their parent. Like,
right.
you know, I've joked before about that when I wanted to lose my virginity, I scheduled it with my mom, and everybody's always been like, what the fuck? Like, that's so weird.
Yeah.
And it is a little weird. Like, it's kind of funny, but also I think there are some maybe boundaries there that were not typical for a parent child
sure
relationship. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
The other thing, you know, this talks a lot about like somebody with an addiction or being in a relationship with somebody with alcoholism. And I know that during those times with Kane, before he got sober, I'm sure that I was exhibiting some codependent behavior by not putting my foot down. I mean, there were times where like after he had a bad night of drinking or whatever, I'd be like, okay, well, like this can't happen again. But then it would happen again and I would still stay because I didn't know how to like actually really set that boundary. And I do feel like alcohol was like a third member of our relationship.
Mm.
I never felt like, you know, I wasn't ever worried about Kane doing other like things in the relationship that some people would be like, ooh, that's a taboo thing. But alcohol was the one where I would come home and like go through the trash can and see how many like empty beer bottles were in there and stuff like that. Like, alcohol took on its own entity in our relationship.
Yeah. Mm.
And obviously our relationship is so different now that he's been sober for almost 3 years. But yeah, I think there was some codependency there. Maybe with me trying to just help him on my own.
Yeah.
And it's so much bigger than I was.
And it's hard because that happened, but then Kane also got help.
Yeah.
And so it's almost like, well, is codependency always a negative thing? Is it something that you can ease? Like, that's what's hard is like, if I'm sure there was boundaries eventually set, but like, did the boundaries, did the help come after the boundaries, or was it something else that happened? Like,
it feels like that happened at the exact same time.
Okay.
And I don't know if that's coincidence or if it just like kind of came together that way, but I had really hit like my final straw with it, where I was like, yeah, I cannot do this anymore. And it was at the same time that he also couldn't do it anymore.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But there had been many times leading up to that kind of final straw on my end where I'd been like, I can't do this. Like, I think you drink too much. This doesn't seem normal to me. And he was still very much fighting that. And was like, no, yeah, you're overreacting. Like, this isn't that much. Just turning it all like that. I was not in the right. Mm-hmm. So by the time that I finally was like, I really can't do this anymore, he had actually come to terms with it himself as well, which is what it has to be. I don't think, I've said it before in here, I don't think you can push anybody to get sober.
Right.
I think they have to want to, or else it won't stick. And fortunately, since he was in that place already, it has stuck. Like,
yeah,
I'm so proud of him. He's been, you know, solidly sober for almost 3 years. No looking back.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's its own thing.
Yeah. So it's interesting. It's like, well, I guess your boundaries could be, yep, you just remove yourself from the situation and hope that that person also sets boundaries for themselves at one point.
Right.
But just because you have the clear boundaries for you doesn't mean that they're going to change.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like,
I felt like I was tough having a relationship for two people on my own. Like, mm-hmm, I was trying to like deal with him and like control him and what he was doing and deal with myself.
Mm.
So that's exhausting. And obviously that doesn't last that long that way.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's what.
What are you thinking about, Taylor?
Oh, I was just thinking about, I guess, my own family stuff too. I've felt similar things of like, but for me it was more, and I've talked about this before, but it was more like, you know, if I, you know, disappointed my dad or something, he would kind of like shut down on me. And then your whole world kind of revolved around like making sure he was not going to be mad at you or like, okay. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you know, this is ancient stuff. Like, my dad's and I have worked on our relationship and it's like very good now. But I think growing up, that was kind of the feeling. And that was how my mom was too, when I was really, really young. I mean, I have memories of, you know, upsetting her and her like punishing me for it, like emotionally, mm-hmm, when I was like, you know, like five, you know, like just being very shaming and like guilting. And it's funny because I feel like when people treat me that way in relationships, I've been on both sides of it. When people treat me like, you know, they shut down on me and they like withhold, I respond to that, and that makes me go, I'll do anything, I'll do anything, I'll do anything.
Mm-hmm.
But then I have also been the person who has been like the punishing person, who is like, you messed up, I'm whatever, you know, you need to beg me to do it back. And then in those relationships, I've really only had one that was like that, where the other person was like, you know, always trying to, and I feel terrible about this, but like, was always trying to like earn my affection back. And then the minute they were like, look, there's nothing I can do, like, clearly, I was like, oh, and then that's when you like swing back the other way. So mm-hmm, it's just like a very unhealthy cycle that I think I have swung between, you know, in various romantic relationships for sure, that I don't even think I thought about until just right now. But
Oh yeah.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
So it's interesting that this stems from like learned behavior.
Right.
It's like, I wonder if it's like, are people codependent if they've had kind of like, I mean, not that all of our stuff wasn't super healthy, but like if they had a relatively healthy kind of family unit situation, do those people grow up susceptible to being codependent? Or is it more people that kind of have witnessed some different behavior?
I think it's trauma. I think trauma is probably what causes it, right? Or like just, you know, tumultuous,
right,
whatever going on. Because if you feel really secure and you're like, no, I know who I am and I, you know, just I'm pretty sure about this, or I'm okay with this and that, like,
yeah,
I don't know. But then if you're with somebody who's very, you know, emotional,
yeah,
it can be easy probably to slip into times of like, okay, how am I going to make sure they're okay? And it's like, where's the line of considering your partner? Because that is a thing you have to do in a relationship, is like, you know, you got to go over your schedules. You got to like communicate about what you're doing. You got to whatever, like, and your expectations, but you don't want it to veer into one person, again, sacrificing what they need to service the other person, you know, in their like time of distress.
Yeah, definitely compromise. So much compromise in relationships.
Yeah.
So some examples of codependency in pop culture. Love, Judd Apatow's Netflix series starring Jillian Jacobs and Paul Rust. A man and woman begin dating just as the woman realizes she is a sex and alcohol addict.
Did either of you watch that?
I do.
I did. I hated it.
I have watched it.
I really didn't like it.
It's one of those things where I don't know if I like or don't like it, but I keep tuning in. So I'm like, well, something's bringing me back here. I think I admire how realistic a lot of it is of about like modern dating in a way.
Yeah. Maybe that's why I don't like it. I'm like, ew, this is just life.
Yeah, I kind of, it's like, oh, I'm just like watching what happens in Los Angeles. That's what's so weird.
Which is
it's
a
like,
bummer.
It's just like, oh wow, yeah, this is like very,
it's not an escape.
This hits home very hard with certain
things.
I
never watched that.
Crazy Heart, starring Jeff Bridges and Maggie Gyllenhaal, an alcoholic singer-songwriter battles with his addiction.
I haven't seen that.
I have not seen that. A Star is Born, which I saw. Have you guys seen?
Oh, yeah. A Star is Born is a perfect example.
Wow. Starring Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper.
Oh, yeah. She's super codependent.
Yes. Like the making excuses for and just kind of like still dealing with the bad behavior.
Oh, yeah. God.
Oh,
that
what
movie
a sad
breaks
one.
My freaking heart.
I know. I watched 3/4 of that the other day because I'm like, I can't watch the end.
Oh, it's tired.
And they do have a Codependence Anonymous, which I didn't even know.
I did not know that either.
This was a thing. 12 steps for Codependence Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over others, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and lives over to the care of a higher power as we understood a higher power. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to a higher power, to ourselves and to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have a higher power remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked a higher power to remove our shortcomings. There's a lot of higher power in 12 steps. I don't even think I realized
that. It looks, I don't know if they're all identical, but this is basically identical to Workaholics Anonymous. I'm not sure what Alcoholics Anonymous is.
I'm not sure either, but it's, I think they've,
These are really made a list
in.
Of persons we'd harmed.
Yeah, that is
amends to everybody. Awesome. Personal inventory, prayer, spiritual awakening, all that.
Yeah. I feel like the 12-step programs. That's one thing that they seem to share, right? Or like the steps that you do. Right?
Yeah,
I could be wrong. I don't know, but that's basically what Workaholics Anonymous is. And the higher power could be anything, whether you believe in God or the universe, or just like, even in the book they're like, the higher power could just be like the group that you're in for Workaholics Anonymous. It's just like, just something beyond yourself, like not all of the pressure, like kind of taking some pressure off of you a little bit to be in control of everything, because that's just not how it works,
right?
You know, giving yourself a little bit of a break almost.
Yeah.
Right, like surrendering.
I know some comedians who are in the Codependence Anonymous groups and are relationship addicts, and I would love to have one on and talk about it. I think it would be great to have somebody on who is like, goes to the meetings and really has come to terms with like, yes, this is what I struggle with through and through, and talk to them about it.
Yeah, I would love to know like specific examples of like how are you a relationship addict? Like, what does that exactly mean?
Oh, it means that when you're alone, you feel like your chest is caving in and the world's over.
Oh, is that what it is?
Uh-huh, that's so what
like,
it is.
Like, you need to be with somebody to feel like worthy. I don't like, yeah. What is it? Okay, so
I think that's what it is.
By
it
yourself,
validated.
Like by yourself, you don't feel like a whole person, or like
it's not that
complete?
You don't feel like you're a whole person. I think it's that you feel like, I mean, for some people, I think I should just speak for myself, but for me, times that I've been like, oh, I don't want to be alone, I don't want to be alone, I don't want to be alone, is just like just not wanting to. That's what it is. Okay. It's feeling like, okay, if somebody else can put up with me, then I'm worthy of love. But if nobody's here putting up with me, then maybe I'm not. Maybe that's what it is.
Oh, okay.
I think so. Okay. I think there's a level of self-worth and worthiness you get from romantic relationships that everybody does. But yeah, I think the relationship addiction is definitely like, okay, this is what I need to feel okay. This is like the validation I need to feel good about myself. And I've definitely been in that place before. And I think that's probably a tendency of mine. I mean, I really have not been single much in the last 6 years. And that's, you know, every time I'm about to break up with somebody, I have to think, you know, is the reason I don't want to, like times when I've known it like wasn't right, I'm like, okay, is the reason I don't want to break up because of this person, or because I just don't want to be alone, or I don't want to feel left or abandoned or rejected.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So
I think that's a very real fear for a lot of people, you know, especially if you've been in a relationship for a long time. Sometimes the thought of being alone is really terrifying.
Yeah.
You know, but I understand that there is like a different level to that. And I think a different percentage of how you get your worthiness is assigned to like a relationship for somebody who struggles with codependency, as opposed to like, okay, well, if I can't get the worthiness I need from this relationship, I can still find worthiness in other places. Mm-hmm. Whereas somebody with codependency might be like, I need it all from this.
Yeah.
Like this is my sole source of feeling worthy of love, you know?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
As opposed to like getting some from family, getting some from friends, getting some from work or whatever.
Right.
Yeah. It makes me think of like, I don't know if you guys, you know, have examples of this, almost like when two people start dating or they're together, it's almost like, yeah, one person loses their identity into this like other person. It's like, hey, you used to do all these things. What happened? Now you only do the things that that person does or wants to do. And it's like you kind of forgot about your own stuff.
Yeah.
And maybe you really don't want those things anymore, but also maybe you're just wanting to do what this person wants because you don't.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah. And right? That's tough because I've felt like that, especially in my most recent relationship. I felt like, you know, there were things that I sacrificed that I was not being asked to sacrifice, that I was sacrificing, but I was willingly doing it. It didn't feel like, there were times where I was like, oh, I mean, I would have been off doing this if it weren't for this relationship. But even in those moments, I was like, yeah, but I would still rather be tending to this relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But that's, you know, coming from a place of like, I need to take care of this. I feel good about, you know, being a great partner. And so anytime I can prove to myself I'm a great partner, that feels better than like going and, you know, doing shows in New York or whatever it is. Because there is a degree of like, when you're in a committed relationship, you're like, okay, well, here are the things that I am not going to do now because that would damage my relationship. Like I can't, you know, go to New York for 3 months and be in a committed relationship. But if I was single, yeah, right. I can go do that. I can go do whatever I want. I mean, I can't because we have the podcast and this is a committed relationship. But, you know, like just those, you have to ask yourself, you know, are you giving up what you really want and need to do in a way that's like unhealthy, and that like if you did those things, your relationship would be fine, but you're putting this like emphasis on the fact that it wouldn't, you're just imagining that it would ruin it. Or are you, you know, making choices like, okay, yeah, before I met you, I would have moved to this state, but now I'm not going to because I want to be with you. Because I don't think that's necessarily unhealthy. That's just a choice you're making.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you're like, I don't play tennis anymore because we need to spend every morning together. Like that kind of thing is not right. Healthy.
Could somebody be codependent on like being perpetually single where they get scared of commitment or when, you know, like the people who kind of get nervous when things get a little bit too serious and then they kind of bounce?
That like goes back to attachment styles, I feel like. That like okay. avoidant yeah. attachment style, yeah. which I think it's all super connected. I mean, we're all just using different words for the same shit that we're yeah. trying to fix about ourselves. But because the codependency thing, the things that resonate with me about it will also, I think, apply to having an anxious attachment style, which is one where you are always afraid that everything's going to fall apart or the person's going to leave or whatever. And if you feel any cracks, you're like, okay, well then I'm out, you know, like you,
yeah.
which is weird because you just swing between being almost like clingy and then swinging back towards, I don't need this.
Okay.
Because you're just so anxious all the time. And
Got
you're
it.
Trying to have some sense of control over it.
Right.
And you're like, I'm going to control how good it is. And then if I can't, then I'm going to control that I'm not here anymore.
Right. Okay. So like if somebody got the help with codependency, it would more just kind of be like kind of in the middle baseline type of stuff. Where the swinging is not happening and it's more just like, okay, I'm aware that I'm feeling this way, but like what kind of questions I'm wondering are they asking themselves to kind of ground them in that moment? You know what I mean? Where it's like, okay, yeah. I know that this is what my gut reaction wants to be, but like,
yes,
how do I stay like right here?
Right.
You know, how do I stay right here and then kind of react? I would love to have somebody on to talk about this.
Yeah, it's hard. I think that's why to me it's always one of those confusing terms of codependency, because in any relationship you are dependent on one another.
Yeah,
like
right.
you can't have a relationship, an emotional relationship, without there being some sort of emotional dependency on one another. But what's that line?
Yeah,
like obviously there is a line that can be crossed where you lose yourself in that relationship, mm-hmm. and you are, there can be two codependent people both in the same relationship together who are both losing the rest of their lives being in this relationship,
yeah.
kind of just swallowing up into one thing. Or it can be one person, but there is a line obviously where it's like that, or some people who just like do not want to get attached at all. But I think you have to try and find that middle ground. But I guess to me, that's what I'm understanding codependency is when it goes past that line of just emotional dependency on the person, where it's like it's a lot and you're sacrificing other parts of your life and
yeah.
your well-being and stuff like that.
So yeah, like I'm curious about like what kind of exercises does somebody in that mindset do? Like let's say that they signed up for a painting class that they really want to take, and then their partner texts them last minute like, hey, I really want to see this movie tonight, do you want to come? And they really want to go to this painting class, but they're afraid
yes.
that if they don't go to the movie with their partner, that the partner maybe might leave them, or they might not seem like a good, you know, mm-hmm. partner or whatever it is. And it's like, what things do they have to tell themselves to be like, no, it's okay that I'm putting what I want to do first, and they're not going to leave me just because I don't go to this movie? Like, I'm wondering yeah. that kind of
right
what's going through their head, and like how yeah I would love to know like what are the tangible tips to give people when they're in those like situations in that moment,
right?
And how does that feel? Like how does it feel to go and put yourself first in this thing? Like, are you enjoying the painting class now, or are you freaking out the whole fucking time?
Right,
you know, it's like,
yeah. Well, and again, you gotta also think about like, you can't spin it like, well, I'm not going to be codependent. I want to go and drink until 5 a.m.
Right.
So yeah, I'm going to go do that. Like, you
right,
can't do
right.
that either. You have to be able to communicate with your partner and be like, hey, like, you know, I want to go out drinking with my friends. Like,
right.
How do you feel about that? And they're like, okay, I mean, like, as long as you're not getting home at 4 a.m, like, that's fine. And
yeah.
they're like, okay, great. Like,
right.
you know, just, I think communication is kind of the key. I mean, it's kind of the key to everything.
Yeah.
And if
yeah,
you're not
yeah.
communicating, then it's easy to slip into codependent behaviors or practices where you're going, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to be careful and do what they want, or you know, I'm going to do everything I can so they don't leave me or whatever it is.
Right.
Right.
This is a freaking juicy one.
It
There's
is.
A lot here. There's
so
a
interesting.
Lot going on here.
So interesting. Well, let us know if you guys liked hearing about this, if you want to hear more, because we'd really love to have on one of our comedian friends to talk about this.
Yeah.
And get kind of like a firsthand perspective on what it's like.
Yeah. Send us like your stories and experiences with this, and we'll discuss them on Patreon. If you have any like helpful tips or advice, we'll dish it out on there with whatever you got to say.
Nice. Do you guys have any segments, any defucks or treat show selves or anything like that?
I do.
Your hair is looking quite nice today, Delaney.
Oh,
I will
you.
Say.
Is the reddish fading out of it?
It just looks clean, I think. And so when it's clean, it looks more blended.
I did shower yesterday. I did. I think you guys are starting to see me more unshowered and unkempt. But my good shit, I went on an anniversary trip with Cam to Sycamore Springs in San Luis Obispo. It was so freaking awesome. I highly recommend this as a destination for people. Every room gets like their own private hot spring hot tub, like on the balcony. And it's just like, oh my God, it's just beautiful.
Cool.
There's hiking trails there. They have a great restaurant. They have like a yoga dome there's like free classes for people who are like resort guests. It's been one of my favorite trips ever. It's just like all my favorite things. And then wine tasting is very close. You're really close to downtown San Luis Obispo if you want to go out to a nice dinner. That was like, ugh. I did not want to leave.
Yeah.
I wanted to live there. It's like I wanted to find out how I could maybe work there and live there full time. I really liked that place. And then you can also rent hot tubs by the hour.
Ooh.
In the hills. So like if you're not staying overnight, what they have, like you basically kind of walk up all these little natural hot spring tubs are just like in the crevices of this hill, and you kind of like walk, not like a hike, but you know, there's stairs. You walk up to find your little nook. it's so freaking cool. And you can rent them by the hour. Anyway, highly recommend if you're looking for a nice getaway.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
And then another thing that I didn't really realize until I thought about it, I've been off the birth control pill since April. So, what, 5 months?
Yeah.
And this is the first time that I have not broken out really bad going off the pill. Usually,
What are you on?
Nothing.
Wait, you got off?
I went off the pill.
That's right. Okay.
Yeah, 5 months.
I can't keep track
condoms.
Who is on them and who's not. Okay.
If anybody wants to know, Cam's mom is probably listening. So we're using condoms.
Keeping it safe.
Obviously, condom pull out / tracking my own situation.
Highly recommend the Flow app. It's very good.
App, there you go. But what's interesting is that two other times I've went off the pill in my lifetime. One was I was about 22. One I was about 25, I want to say. By month three, like clockwork, after 3 months, every pore on my face was a raised red bump.
Yes.
And both of those times I had to go to the doctor and either get like, steroid cream, or I had to take antibiotics, or I had to get back on Accutane, all that stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm at month five, and not only is it like not raised bumps, but I'm not really breaking out bad. Like I break out a little bit around my period.
Yeah.
But most of the time it's like,
so great.
It's clear. And I know people are not going to like hearing this, but the only difference is I am on a plant-based diet.
Heyo.
So I don't know if there's a connection, but I looked and like, what am I doing differently?
Interesting.
And the biggest thing I'm doing differently is that I'm eating differently. Those other two times I was not vegan at that time.
Oh yeah.
I was vegan in the middle of actually going off birth control both those times. So I'm just saying, you know, maybe if you are thinking about coming off the pill, maybe if you listen to Dr. Jolene Brighton's episode about post birth control syndrome.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to convert people. I'm just saying maybe going plant based at least for the months following getting off the pill might be really beneficial for you. It's obviously helping me, I think.
Yeah.
So
yeah. That's really
cool.
I
just thought that was like a good shit moment. Then I'm like, oh shit, I never broke out around Kelsey's wedding, which was what I was thinking. I thought maybe I would be going to Kelsey's wedding with the worst acne situation ever, and it didn't happen.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure my skin would be great if I was vegan. I'm just like not willing to make that sacrifice. Yeah. But maybe, I don't know. I am trying to like incorporate less meat here and there, but
yeah, here's the thing. Yeah. One thing I want to say about it, and people are gonna be mad, but I'm just saying, listen, honestly, talking about the plant-based stuff and the vegan stuff can be challenging because it's almost like you're in a book club and most people haven't read the book, and so there's only so far you can go with the conversation,
right?
And so it's like some people just see the title of the book and they're like, no thanks, that's not for me. And it's like, but did you read chapter one? Because chapter one might really help your specific thing,
right?
And so it's kind of like you don't really know until you look into it, and that's all I'm gonna say.
I will say, as somebody who I feel like I do know quite a bit now about like the benefits of, I'm not somebody that's like, oh, I'm not even going to look at that book.
Right.
Like we run this podcast. Like I know quite a bit now about all this stuff.
Right.
For me, just emotionally, still not ready to do it.
And I
might never.
Yeah.
And so I represent that person for our listeners. If you feel like don't get mad. I'm still here. I still eat meat. It's okay. We're not all trying to convert you. It's okay.
Yeah.
I had In-N-Out 2 days ago. It's fine. I will continue to eat it.
I wanted In-N-Out so bad when we were recording the last plant-based episode.
Yeah.
But I didn't. But I will say, I think it's great that the three of us are all in totally different camps
on
the meat and plant-based stuff. Like Kelsey's very much like, yeah, no, I get it, I see it, I would like to keep eating meat. Delaney's very like, I'm not gonna eat any animal products. And I'm like, okay. I mean, I will say I was having those like hormonal breakouts that I have never had, those like really deep ones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it was happening, I didn't even think about this, but it was happening when I ate paleo.
I'm back on meat.
And then the last like month and a half or so, when I haven't really eaten much meat at all, and I haven't been breaking out like that.
Right No, I'm saying, I totally get what you're saying. I think there's a difference between reading the info, hearing about it from people, and actually seeing stuff firsthand. That's what I'm saying is like, have you seen any of the documentaries yet? Have you watched the TED Talks?
I have them.
All that? You have? You've seen Earthlings or
I haven't seen Earthlings, but I've seen like quite a few.
Yeah.
I read what's the main book that was making people, it has the word bitch in it.
Skinny Bitch?
Skinny Bitch. I read Skinny Bitch, which
that's
is
about veganism?
Oh dude, I ate chicken the next day after that book.
Oh yeah.
That didn't do shit for me.
Skinny Bitch is about being vegan?
Skinny Bitch really talks in depth about a lot of the horrors of like the meatpacking industry.
Oh.
And it really fucked me up for like a day, and then I went back. So I feel like I have seen shit that really horrifies me and grosses me out. I'm sure that Earthlings is probably the most graphic one, and I haven't seen that yet.
I think Dominion too.
Dominion
sounds horrible.
But I think so I'm like you, Del, where like when you said that you tried to do the Candida cleanse, you cried. Because you like hated not eating those things you loved.
Yeah.
So for me, I've already had to make such a sacrifice in my life with food because of Candida. I love food so much. And I thought I wanted to be like a chef at one point in my life. I have a very emotional attachment to food. And the fact that for over 5 years now, I have not had bread or cheese.
Yeah.
That's something, if you told me 10 years ago, I would have like thrown a fit.
Yeah.
Like, I have had to make a lot of sacrifices, and there are a lot of foods that I loved so much that I just can never eat again.
Yeah,
I can never eat pizza again. I can never have a regular burger again. Right. So meat is the one thing I've still got that like makes me feel like, okay, there's some normalcy here.
Sure.
And I know, I mean, you've made the ultimate sacrifice. You do eat only vegan, plant-based foods, but some of the things that you're able to eat are still things I couldn't eat.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying. I was like, well, even if there's soy products and stuff out there, there's alternatives to even the soy products and stuff.
Right.
So it's almost like, oh, instead of this, there's like this instead, because a lot of people want to stay away from processed stuff.
Right.
So it's like, I had a taco with mashed potatoes in it the other day. Do you know what I mean? It's like, oh shit, that's a thing?
Right. Yeah. But like when you get the, like you're talking about like how good the Beyond Burger is.
Oh yeah.
You still have that in a bun, which like kind of makes it taste better and more normalized as opposed to a lettuce wrap. When you have the vegan pizza with vegan cheese, you're still having it on bread.
Totally.
I can't have any of that. Yeah, and so for me, just emotionally, I'm like, I would like to not eat meat for a lot of ethical reasons, but just like emotionally, I've already had to like take such a hit in my life of things that I can't have anymore.
Oh,
so
I totally
that's for
it.
Me, like, I think why I hold on to it.
I totally get it. And I think a lot of people are worried that if they watch it, they will be emotionally affected. And then they also think, well, I'm going to be emotionally affected and then it's going to be hard to make those changes.
Right.
I get it. It's almost like when you were saying like you didn't want to look into, you're always scared to look into like the history behind religious stuff because you're afraid of what you're going to find. And it's like, as long as I'm not looking, I don't really have to deal with this.
Ignorance is bliss.
So no, dude, I totally get it. It has not been easy. I'm going to tell you that as far as the emotional stuff.
I'm sure. Yeah,
there's something I'd love to talk about on a future episode called like basically vegan depression. And it's basically where you feel like the world is terrible and you want to die. And like, it's not great. And I know that like you can manage it, but that is definitely something I'm like, oh, this is what I've been feeling for 6 months. It's like this weird, like, fuck, I just kind of sometimes want to erase everything and go back to not knowing. And not being aware of it. And, but I'm glad I am. So it's like this weird kind of in between. But if anybody's experienced that, I'd love to know like what's they have like vegan depression doctors and stuff.
Or
therapists that specialize in it.
That's so nasty.
It's a mess. So anyway, yeah, it can be traumatic. It's basically like you can be basically suffering from PTSD if you end up watching some of this stuff and you're reading into it. It's hard. But I'm also glad I did, but it's hard. It's both.
Yeah.
It's like both.
Yeah.
For sure. Anyway, that was probably too long of a deep shit.
It's okay. Do you have anything? Kels?
I have like a generic good shit, I guess. Kane and I are doing more shows on the road together, and I think we have like 6 weekends booked together already for next year, and we just did a weekend in San Diego together. And I just have to say, like, it's honestly been like one of the greatest perks ever. And I think sometimes people are like, oh, pros and cons of being married to a comedian. And there was a period of time in our relationship where like the cons kind of felt like they were outweighing the pros. When I was touring with Jim, I was gone so much and it just felt like things in our relationship were very out of balance. And that was a time where I was like, shit, both doing the same thing and both wanting the same dreams feels really hard right now and feels really painful. And fortunately, we've gotten to a place where now I can bring him on the road with me more and more. And it's really amazing because I think I was in like a really dark place for some of like when I would be on the road by myself and be away from Kane. And now to get to like have him with me and do these shows that feel really special because he goes up and does like his relationship material and the crowd doesn't know that like he's married to me. And so he talks about like how I'm like a feng shui witch and like all this stuff and basically like shits on me for part of it. And then I go up and like one of the first things I say is like, so I also just got married like to the angry bald guy who was just up here, and everybody's like, oh my God. And then I get to talk shit about him and it's been really fun.
So romantic.
I know. That's like our love language. But we've had so many people come up to us after these shows recently and be like, this is so cool. I've never seen a show like this where it's a couple and it's like your guys' perspectives on each other like in these fights and stuff like that. And also, I mean, saying like really sweet things about each other too, but it's just been really cool. And I feel glad that we were able to like weather the storm of it not being so great for us to both be comics in a relationship, for us now to be like really enjoying the benefits of getting to be together and both be comics. So
that's so cool.
That's my good shit.
That's fun.
Thanks.
Keep doing more of that.
Thanks.
It's like, man, that's a nice way to make that the lifestyle more sustainable, I think.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I still have, you know, a handful of like colleges and stuff like that where I do have to go by myself, and I'm not looking forward to that because it's like, again, ignorance is bliss. I've almost been like spoiled now to have him with me. And
oh yeah,
boy, it makes even just like a 6 a.m. flight so much better to have that person sitting next to you that you can just look at each other and be like, this fucking sucks, huh? You know, because like I can't do that to the whatever person's asleep next to me.
You have to wake them up.
Yeah, hey,
that's all.
Listen,
hey,
should I need to complain
hey
about?
This is bad, right? Where are you going? What's your job?
What's your deal?
It'd be hard too, because if you tried to complain to anybody else, they'd be like, oh yeah, it's hard, I gotta travel for real estate or whatever other shitty thing they gotta do. And you're like, right. Oh, I tell jokes and say whatever I want. And they're like, okay, I'm going back to sleep.
Yeah.
We are not the same person.
Yeah.
How dare you compare our struggles? That's the hardest thing about being a comic, is like you always just want to complain about how hard it is. And everybody's like, I have to go to an office.
Yeah.
So maybe shut the fuck up.
Right. Exactly.
I was talking to somebody about that the other day, about they had talked to some like a very successful comedian who had made a comment about like, you know, somebody who was married with kids and like had a stable job, going like, man, they really haven't made. And you're just like, oh my God, like if that's how you feel being so successful,
right?
God, how are we gonna feel? Yeah, what are we doing? What are we striving for?
Right, right.
Oh God.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, the grass is always greener.
For sure.
Yeah. Sure. It's
trying to have that balance. But anyway, it's been nice.
Yeah. So. Grass is always greener. Unless you are being unethically farmed. In which case, let's bring it all back.
Oh, man. You guys, I never thought I'd be this person. Let me just tell you that right now. If you go back to episode one, when I was addicted to bagels and cream cheese.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Freaking, you know, oh, my God. I have become very annoying.
You're not. You're really not.
Yeah.
Truly. I mean,
I feel annoyed with myself because I don't want to be talking about it.
You're just a very passionate person.
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
You're like that with everything.
Yeah,
with,
yeah.
If there's something that's new in your life that you're passionate about, you're like, everybody, stop what they're doing.
Yeah.
I have an announcement. I'm going to tell you everything I know about it, and you just need to hear every word.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's the thing. It's like the way I feel about being a vegan now is like how I feel about minimalism and decluttering and also doing what you love. And it's
religion.
If you were religious, you'd be a missionary.
Oh, yeah. My God.
You are the person on the box on the Vegas strip with a megaphone.
God, I don't even want to hang out with myself, you guys. Like, I get it. It's freaking exhausting being in my brain. It's
I know.
Fucking exhausting.
Yeah, but you're not annoying or pushy about it. You really are.
You guys are very nice. I mean, you still hang out with me, but you guys also
judgy.
Have to.
You're not judgy at all.
If you're making us feel like shitty about it, I'd be like, okay.
Yeah.
But you don't. You never do.
No, I'm just like, oh man. Yeah, it's just a lot. I'm a lot.
We're all a lot. That's why we're doing this podcast.
Yeah, like, I'm a lot.
You're
in my
so
head,
much.
Though. You know, like in my head, I'm a lot, and then I can come off very like, oh, she seems relatively relaxed. I'm like, no, look in here. It's so much is happening in here that I can't speak for very long in a conversation because so much is happening.
I'm just impressed by your ability to keep it inside your head.
Yeah. Oh. It's because I don't even know how to verbalize it half the time.
Oh, I think I know how to verbalize.
Where do I start? Where do I start?
Yeah.
Poor Cam.
Oh, God.
Poor Cam. Oh, my God.
Oh, God.
Tay, do you have any segments you want to talk about?
I don't think so.
It's okay.
Yeah.
I pass.
Never mind.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Not right now. We're,
you look cute.
Thank you so much.
You look
adorable.
Cute.
Yeah.
I'm really trying.
You got a cute outfit.
Thank you.
Your hair's styled.
I'm trying to,
you look striking. I saw you and I was like, oh
thank
my God.
You look
so much.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you're in emotion, like, ugh, God, trying to lose 10 pounds when you're happy is like so hard. And then the minute you're sad, you're like, oh, this is like easy. Like when
falling off me.
Yeah. When did I eat 20 hours ago? It's time for bed again. You know? Which is a nice, fun vacation. Oh, thank God for comedy. I mean, I'm doing spots in town this weekend. I already talked about this, canceling stuff, but I think I'm just right now trying to figure out the balance of
you know, what we're always trying to do is taking time for yourself and also doing what you need to get done and making time for what's important, but also making time for nothing because you need nothing to regroup. So, you know,
it's very tough.
Constant.
You got to schedule your nothing, dude.
Constant yeah.
That's what I've learned. It's like, oh, I'll do nothing at some point this weekend. And then if it's not on my calendar, I don't do it.
Right. Yeah, and knowing when doing nothing is bad for you. Because I think that's the case as well sometimes where you're like, ooh, I can't.
Yeah, sometimes you got to take action.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. All right, let's do some plugs.
Today is Kane's birthday, everybody. So go tell Kane happy birthday.
Nice. I'm going to be headlining the University of Evansville in Indiana this Friday. And then next week, I'm here in LA a bunch. I'll be headlining the Rec Room down in Huntington Beach. So go to kelseycook.com for tour dates. There's a bunch of stuff coming up.
All right. I am at the Funny Bone in Cincinnati, Ohio, the 22nd through the 25th. And I am at the Brea Improv, the 30th through September 1st in Southern California. And then I am at the San Francisco Punchline, September 4th through 7th. And Ice House in Pasadena. That's like three weekends that are all in California. That's nice. The 13th and 14th of September, and I'm at
that's great.
Cabo in Del Mar on the 15th.
Sweet. And then I've been totally forgetting to shout out some of my clients, so I just want to give you guys a few shout outs. Go follow one of my clients, Courtney, at They Call Me Spindles. She is an incredible fine artist. She makes murals and installations and gallery pieces and hand-painted wedding invitations.
Oh my gosh, that's so nice.
Dude, I'm blown away by her talent. It's unreal. Wow. And then go follow Jess at Jessie Goes Pop. She makes these incredible pop art portraits. She made one for me, Kelsey, and Taylor. You can see on like our Instagram and stuff. It's hanging in my home. I get so many compliments on it. And then another one of my clients recently got a book published. I can't take any credit. This was already in the process before we started working together. But it's called Cliffs and Challenges, A Young Woman Explores Yosemite. The author, Laura White Brunner, was actually the second woman to climb Yosemite's Half Dome, that giant rock formation.
Wow.
And she wasn't allowed to hike in pants because they didn't make women's hiking gear back then. So she would pin her dress between her knees for rock climbing.
What?
And would often hike barefoot. And she climbed Half Dome, the park administration found out and created a hiking route known as the Cables on Half Dome. I don't know if anybody's been there, but that's where it's from. Because they were afraid other women would try to hike and get hurt. And so that route, or the route, is one of America's most iconic hikes and the first ever sexist trail. Anyway, so she wrote the memoir in 1940, tried for 30 years to get it published. Her daughter tried for over 20 before giving it over to the National Park Archives, where my client Jared found it 4 years ago and ended up getting the book published. And it's basically just a really great, funny, poignant memoir. And if anybody's interested in national park history, women in the environment, all that stuff, and all of the money goes to her family. Jared, my client, does not get any money from it. So he just took it upon himself to get this badass woman's memoir published that he found. And I think that's so freaking cool. So Jared,
awesome.
Go celebrate. Don't just move on to the next project like we talk about. Just take a moment. Yeah. Celebrate the moment. All right.
Nice. And please take a second. Give us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes. It helps us move up the charts, and we really appreciate it. And we'll talk to you guys next week. Bye.
Love you guys. You guys, we love you so much. Thank you for supporting Self Helpless. You can follow us on social media, on Instagram and Facebook, at Self Helpless Podcast. And you can visit selfhelplesspodcast.com for all things Self Helpless. Learn about Patreon and how to sign up. Our merch is there. Information about our Facebook group and how to join. All the episodes you can listen to are on there, a little bit about the show, our individual sites are linked there, and our contact information, email, and P.O. box if you want to send us some love letters. And you can follow us individually as well. I am at Delaney Fisher on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, and DelaneyFisher.com, where you can watch my docu-comedy special, Love at First Cousin, for free. And then DicksByDelaney.com if you want to buy some dick mugs.
Sweet. I'm at Kelsey Cook Comedy on Instagram, at Kelsey Cook on Twitter, kelseycook.com for all tour dates and merch. And my album, Savor It, is still available to buy on iTunes. And you can watch Wrists of Fury, my foosball web series that has an episode of Taylor and Delaney on the All Things Comedy YouTube channel.
I am at Taylor Tomlinson on Twitter and Instagram, and ttomcomedy.com for my Netflix special and all live tour dates.
Sweet. We love you guys
so much.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye-bye.